Blog Talk Radio.
That's right.
You are now listening to Mr. Colin Pop Holiday.
That's right. That's right.
Good evening, everybody. This is your host, Everett Tucker, with my lovely and vivacious co-host, Carolyn Harris.
Hello, everybody.
And tonight, if you are listening to Blog Talk Radio / Mystic Politics, and it is 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are at the premier destination for Moonbat Kookery, and you're in a designated tinfoil area. Tonight, we are going to be getting into witchcraft and music. We are going to be playing a little bit of some clips from John Todd in regards to, guess, music and witchcraft, and the roles they play in regards to each other. And I see someone in our chat room, Mom, which you can locate by going directly to mysticpolitics.com, a new site that me and Ma have been working on. I'm very proud of the results. You can now check out all of our radio archives. If you like the cool little icons and everything down below, you can thank Carolyn. She did a lot of those from scratch, a lot of the coding for us there. So our archives are all the way up. If you've missed an episode, we have 7. This is number 8. Go ahead and go to mysticpolitics.com, click on the radio archive section, or just click on the little menu link that says radio, and you'll see what we're talking about. Also, go ahead and go to our chat room, and someone is asking about the page cannot be displayed. Now, Ma, you had a similar problem with Blog Talk Radio, correct? What did you do to resolve it? I believe you just switched your browser.
I did. I was looking on Opera, and it just would not work, so I switched to Firefox. And if anybody has an issue with trying to listen to the show on the little Blog Talk Radio player, there's a little tiny link at the very bottom that says open in your default player or in a new window. And if you click that, then you can listen to it in Windows Media or something like that.
Also, I see that Karen, one of our very loyal listeners, she's been with us from day one. She's a great listener. I was wondering if you guys could go ahead and mosey on over to mysticpolitics.com, and I believe that you should be able to, let me refresh this page here, because I believe one of our embedded players for the Blog Talk Radio player, I believe that's also a live player, and it will play a live show, but maybe not. Let me scroll up. I just refreshed my page. Yes, actually, it looks like we can. Let me go ahead and press play here. Yeah, it actually looks like we can, which is amazing. So, yeah, you can head on over right over to mysticpolitics.com and click on the player, which is great, which means we can just promote our website now, Ma.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is very, very cool. So just mosey on over to mysticpolitics.com. And, Ma, if you want to go ahead and drop a link to Numbskull in the – in fact, I'll take care of that. Now, getting into a topic here. Now, we had just Googled witchcraft and music, and we found a very interesting article which was written yesterday Also, by the way, people, okay, while you're at mysticpolitics.com, we have four main social networking profiles we're promoting. You can catch us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and MySpace. Those are the main ones. And you can check us out down there. We have a lot of activity on the YouTube. We have like 60,000 views, getting all kinds of love over there on YouTube. Check it out. We have a bunch of interesting stuff. And we're also going to be transporting all those YouTube videos over to a video page on Mystic Politics to get our URL, a little bit of clicks, which is going to be very cool. Now, before we get into the John Todd audio, which is great stuff, I've heard all this stuff. So I haven't heard this in, I think, a little bit over a year. And we also had one, but we didn't have time to get into it before the show started. This is a very shoestring show. We're preparing for the next 4 weeks on the Catholic Church. Very, very good stuff. So before we get into all of that, Ma had found a really great article, and I was hoping she can get into that.
Sure. It is. It's pretty interesting. It's called Jackson versus Morbid Angel, Revisiting a Time when Heavy Metal Threatened to Destroy Our Way of Life. The place, Optimus Sports Arena, Jackson, Michigan, the year 1990. The showdown, members of the Jackson for Jesus Committee versus attendees of Death Fest 1 in a battle for the very souls of a generation of young people, and also a pretty intense contest of whether mustaches and mullets would be forces for good or evil. So once again, I must credit business reporter Chris, all the best blog ideas, Gouts, for bringing this YouTube blast from the past to my attention. In fact, all of the WILX news coverage of the Death Fest controversy leading up to the conference, a concert, has been posted on the site by a user named KK Clammy. Here are some of the choice quotes from the videos. What can city commissioners do when a Death Fest comes to town? Not much, it seems. The names of the band participating in Michigan Death Fest are interesting, to say the least. Sacrifice, Fatal, Morbid Angel, and Lucifer's Hammer are just some of the bands that will be in town August 11th. It's better than the slow music, because the slow music is, to me, is like depressing, and I don't like getting depressed or any of that. And then the next one says, after we talk to the kids, we will have a prayer and we'll be singing some of our own songs. Devil worship, that's the debate raging in Jackson. Like, if it said go out and kill somebody, you know, they wouldn't want people to go out and do it. So those are the comments. This wasn't the first or last time that concerned citizens stood up to protect the children of Jackson's impressionable ears, as I discovered while writing some stuff on Alice Cooper's upcoming concert in the Jackson County Fair and Kiss's hypothetical return to Jackson. Current results, Jackson is ranked 201st with 135 votes. I pulled the old clips labeled Rock and Roll Music from Citizen Patriots Library in the late 1980s were evidently a time of great concern about the evil, corrupting power of rock and roll. It started, of course, with the Parents Music Resource Center, and that, of course, was Tipper Gore. Hearings before Congress, when the committee called for a rating system for music and an idea endorsed by a citizen patriot in a 1985 editorial. The following year, an evangelist from Wisconsin, the Reverend Stephen Timmons, came to Jackson to rail against the satanic agenda of rock music. What's most amusing about these stories written about his visit is that Timmons wasn't preaching about heavy metal. His targets were such subversives as Rod Stewart, ABBA, The Police, The Eagles, Air Supply, and the worst offender of all, John Denver. Quote, probably the most powerful figure in this is John Denver, said Timmons. Rocky Mountain High, John Denver's big 1970 hit, for instance, advocates a rebirth through nature. This is the teaching of witchcraft, said Timmons. A few days after the story ran, Timmons was confronted by, quote, one of the most unruly crowds I have ever preached to, end quote. The crowd appeared to be divided equally between supporters, clean-cut and wearing dresses and suits, and detractors, wearing blue jeans, leather and denim jackets, rock and roll T-shirts, and tennis shoes. Another 80 to 100 young people remained outside, unable to get into the church. Throughout the meeting, the two groups did battle with each other. Hallelujahs and amens were counted by chants of rock and roll and Ozzy Ozzy. Four Jackson County Sheriff cars arrived at the scene after it was discovered that a side window on Timmons' van had been broken and water pumped into the van with a garden hose during the service. sidebar with the heading Evangelist, Antichrist Coming, derailed some of the highlights of Timmons' Servants. Timmons began by using the rock group Santana's first album to show that there are difficult-to-detect images on album covers. That album has human faces disguised as a large lion's face. He ended by linking former President Franklin D. Roosevelt and various rock musicians to witchcraft and Satanism that he said began in the time of the pharaohs. Well, the rest of the article is not really all that relevant, but Everett, I think that there are a lot of salient points in that article, specifically that there are difficult-to-detect messages, not only in the artwork, but also in the music. And music does actually have an effect on people, whether they realize it or not. It's not just the rhythm that affects a person's personal frequency, but there are a lot of levels to it. So what do you have to say about that?
No, I agree 100%, and I think people miss a lot of the esoteric nature of music. Music is one of the earliest forms of magic. If you look at just what frequencies do, you know, what's frequency, what's speech? If you look at these things, all speech is just modulized frequencies, little frequency bytes, which everybody learns, you know, A, E, I, O, U, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, which we all emulate to a certain effect, which is just mimetics data. And, you know, what's getting into a whole other thing, but if you look into, what's that quote? If you want to understand the universe, this is by Nikola Tesla. If you want to understand the universe, think of frequency, energy, and I don't know, I forget the other thing. But it basically everything is a frequency. So if you can learn to modulate frequencies, it has a very startling effect on the psyche, and there's all kinds of stuff. You can use mimetics, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. There's all kinds of effects that these frequencies can be used to control your thoughts. And we got into a little bit of that when we were talking about EMF and VLF on a former broadcast, which is a great broadcast. We got a lot of good feedback from it. You can check out that archive. It's Mystic Politics with Carolyn Harris on the Technocratic, I believe it's called Electronic Warfare. You can check that out in the archive section. It gets into a little bit of the science behind that. But if you recall, or if you don't know, I personally believe that a lot of the Illuminati symbolism that they use, the 1-3-5 ratios, the golden ratio, all of that stuff is kind of encoding the secrets of the frequencies of the universe into modern architecture in a way that was relevant to them. And once you knew, like, hey, you know, you build a room to a specific a structure and ratio, and then you just, it's like kind of passed down orally, hey, the secret to this frequency is in the architecture of this room. That's all they have to know at that point, and that way it's very easy to pass down. You just go and measure the room and get the ratios, and then you can figure it out. So I definitely think there is a lot to the occult status in the music. What do you think, Carolyn?
Sure. Well, one of the things I think that people don't recognize or maybe even think about is that everything that we vocalize is permanent. I mean, it may seem fleeting when we are saying it, but you can't ever unsay something. And just like you were saying, it's just vocalizing frequency. Well, you know, there's a reason that, for example, spells are written down, but to be actually activated, they have to be vocalized. I think that is a very salient point. And like you were saying, you know, Tesla was saying, if you want to understand the universe, you have to understand frequency and vibration and energy, because that is the crux of the matter. Everything is energy. Everything is frequency. And like you were saying, people's psyche, their entire body, their mind, everything can be changed by applying different frequencies. And, of course, you know, vocalizing, singing, and music are all frequencies. But I think for the purpose of our subject today, how has music been, how has witchcraft been used in music, and how is it affecting people? I think that is a very big subject, and I hope we can illuminate people a little bit about that today, beyond what John Todd has to say, which is a lot. And you know, he's an insider, so he has kind of the skinny on it. But you know, one of the things that I wanted to point out also is that, you know, there are a lot of popular singers throughout you know, our lifetimes and a little bit before mine, who have sung about witchcraft or magic. And of course, probably the most famous is Old Blue Eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had
witchcraft.
A song called Witchcraft, very popular. Right. Olivia Newton-John, you know, a lot of people that aren't death metal or anything like that have sung about that. And so what has the effect on people been? I mean, most of the Parent Music Resource Council with a little Tipper Gore there, you know, we're trying to say, oh, well, children are going to go out and commit murders and satanic rituals and things like that if they listen to this death metal. But what I have found from my research is that the effect is actually much more insidious and much less immediately visible than going out and, you know, having the satanic ritual.
It kind of, this brings me to mind, remember when everybody was trying to beat up on Marilyn Manson and blaming him for everything, and Eminem too. Well, Eminem, I was very disturbed by Eminem's new music video that I saw, I don't know, maybe about a month or so ago, which was called, I believe, 3 in the Morning, which he was, like, murdering everywhere. There was blood everywhere, and there was kind of weird. He was doing weird stuff with his voice, and towards the end of the video, he's, like, reaching up to the sky, and he did the same maneuver, like, over and over again. And the first thing I did, after looking at Freemasonic symbols, I'm like, I wonder what that symbol means. It's kind of like he kind of had both wrists together reaching up toward the sky, and it really makes you wonder what a lot of these people are encoding their music with, because, like you've mentioned before, Muzak, a lot of other things, they can just take a soundbite, reduce it down to a millisecond, and just loop it. So you're being constantly bombarded in your subconscious by this little frequency, which your brain does. Which your brain does regulate. I want to say hi, Chris. Hi, Chris over there. Chris 5, very cool listener. She's one of the loyal listeners of Global Reality, Josh Reeves, where I parrot most of my information from. Ha-ha, great show. And have a lot of good people over there in the chat. And once again, if you want to check out our chat room, just go to mysticpolitics.com, click on the little chat player. And we figured out tonight that you can listen live just by going directly to mysticpolitics.com. So, yay, because a lot of people were having problems with that Blog Talk Radio, and this is awesome. So also what that means is we've also added share profiles. You can go to the profile section, and we have cut and paste codes to make it very, very easy to propagate our very, very mediocre quality show all across the Internet. You can copy and paste our Blog Talk Radio and Podomatic players and headers. We've also added a share option at the very top where you can post it to MySpace, Twitter, and Facebook. If you go to the very top right corner and click share on MySpace, that comes preloaded with a header, a chat room, and a Blog Talk Radio player right there. So if you want to pimp out your MySpace profile in just 2.3 seconds, click on that and post it to your About Me section, and then you'll be repping the shows big time. So that'll be great. So it made it easy for you guys to make it easy for us to get the message out. And that's really what it's all about, is just getting the message out. You know, on this show, I don't want to speak for Ma in particular, even though I know in part she agrees with me very much. I personally do not want to promote the patriot-minded survivalism, fear-based sensationalism of AP and Reuters, Illuminati-fed news. I just don't want to get into it, okay? I want you to go learn a little something from Mystic Politics. When you hear a song, I want you to think what I have in the back of my head, like, I wonder what the song's trying to encode in me. When you watch TV, I want you to look for symbols. When you see something in the news or see a shuttle's launching, I want you to look and try to see how it matches up on an astrological basis. once you go look at what stars are aligning, and you're going to start to see patterns. You're going to start to see that anything that's space-based is all based on astrology. Now, whether that's for a specific function or just because the people who coordinate this stuff believe in astrotheology, who knows? I tend to believe that it does have some kind of benefit to them. Maybe they're harnessing other kind of energy. I don't know what's going on, but I don't think anything's left up to chance, and they do stuff when everything is aligned right and they have the best chance for success, and it just so happens that it's when stars are aligning up. So I do see a lot of that, and really what I want to get away from on the show is just the fear. We're not trying to scare you on the show. We're trying to illuminate. And just, you know, and when you're going, and I believe, Ma, what do you call it, the Migos effect, where you just talk to someone about it, and you just see their eyes glaze over, and you can just see the interest fading. And a lot of people, they try to capture your attention with this kind of stuff by, China and Russia are invading, Chinese boots on American soil, run, Russia's going to nuke us, you know, they're murdering babies and feeding the parts to pit bulls. It's just like, you know, it's just ridiculous. You know, black helicopters flying over Portland. It's just ridiculous, you know. And, you know, and I believe some of that is, in effect, why I think the reason it's so when you try to go repeat this to somebody else in your little hyped up and fear sensationalized state, they're going to have no effect, and they're going to disregard anything you say to them in the future. You know, I blew a lot of my credibility. I was all over reptilians about a year and a half ago. I was all over it. I was like, oh, everybody's a reptilian. You know what I mean? And that was, I don't know what that was all about, but you know what I mean? So a lot of people in my family, I'm like, okay, I'm off that now, but they don't want to hear it because they still think I'm off that moonbat stuff. So, you know, so definitely be careful what you do, and make sure that when you're discussing something, you have a little bit of sourcing to give over to somebody. And one of the resources I like to use to source a lot of this moonbat tinfoil stuff at first glance, what people would take for tinfoil, just straight up, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, go to nwolibrary.com. Just straight up, go to nwolibrary.com. That's a website that me and Ma Justice, Carolyn Harris of the Iconoclast Report. Carolyn, where can we check out your show at?
You can check it out live on every Saturday from 12 to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time on OracleBroadcasting.com. And if you miss it, you can always check it out in the archive section of my website, which is NWOLibrary.com. And the library that Everett was talking about is in that website. All you have to do is click on the NWO Library link in there, and it will open up an entire library for you that is set up like library subjects and subcategories. Anything that you're interested in, it's probably in there, and I have hundreds and hundreds of documents in there and many more that I have not uploaded yet. So take some time and look around in there. Everything is sourced, lots of government documents, lots of reports, scientific reports. It's all straight from the horse's mouth. And one of the things that I like to tell people is, even if you are a veteran researcher, please start in the history section, because there's probably stuff in there that you have never heard, and there are even full books. And one of the things that I like to do is to use their own words against them. These people who are behind the scenes, they write these things down. They write their plans down. They write their philosophies down, and they publish them. But they expect that we're not going to read it. So, hey, read it and find out what they have to say, what their plans are, what their philosophy is, in their own words. I mean, it's one thing for somebody to tell you, but it's another thing for you to read it yourself. So I encourage everybody to go over there and click on the NWO Library link, the library link there, and you'll be able to get to it. No registration required or anything, free to everybody anytime. So it's all about documentation and sources, because anybody can say anything they want on the Internet, but if you don't have a source to back it up, you're just talking smack.
I like that. Yeah, and so a lot of problems with the Blog Talk Radio. So what I did is I posted a link going over to the direct. This is just an HTML script that just has the Blog Talk Radio player on it. And I see there's some confusion. We are not talking on the cell phone. We are doing a new live broadcast. And I dropped a link in the chat room. It's mysticpolitics.com/blogtalk_player, which is just a pop-up link with just the player on it. That way you can pop that up and just navigate throughout the website and check it out a little bit. Yes, all right. We got another listener. Oh, maybe not. Okay, well, we have a caller right now. Amon, do you feel like taking a call?
Sure.
Let's get them on the air. Okay, you're the only caller there. Let's see here, area code 214.
Hello?
Hi, caller, you're on the air. Hello.
How are you?
Doing all right. How are you, sir?
This is Barack. Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me. We wanted to call up and answer it personally.
Who is this?
I'm Barack Obama.
Hey, Barack, how's it going?
Okay.
It's just okay. You know what?
Yes.
Ma, do you have any questions for Barack? And hopefully he can navigate the soundboard on Ethan's world.
Is the university being fair by taking the history of racial discrimination and exclusion into account when filling a limited number of slots in its medical school?
Okay, that was kind of a non sequitur, Barack. So how do you feel about being married to such a manly woman?
Bullshit.
All right, so we're going to have to go ahead and hang up on you.
Maybe.
Show.
Yeah.
So I wanted to hang with you there, but, you know, it wasn't very funny.
I wanted
funny.
To ask about the Green Army, but we can't have expletives on the show. It is an all-ages show.
Yeah, you messed us up. You know what I mean? So, anyways, all right. Well... And color, I don't mind if you're using, you know, an Even's World soundboard. You know what I mean? But just make it funny. You know what I mean? I used to do that stuff all the time. I used to call it my bosses with like the Joe Pesci one. The best one is the Al Pacino, which is you just cost me $6,000. $6,000. That one gets everybody. That's a good one. Okay, you go to evensworld.com. That one's good. And then who else is good on there? People get a good response out of Chris Farley, even though they know it's fake. They're just wondering how you do it. So, Jack Black is good too, because Jack Black, when you go on the Jack Black soundboard, everybody has a buddy that sounds like that. So you think it's someone you know, and really it's Jack Black, and it's great. You know, talking about doing COCK push-ups and everything. It's great sound clips there. But, Mom, do you have anything you want to get into real quick before we go ahead and play this? We're about to play I believe it's a 28-minute John Todd tape on music and witchcraft and the Illuminati. Anything
well,
you want to get into?
Sure. I'd just like to remind people as you listen that, you know, while some of it may sound a little bit outlandish, it's true. And even though Mr. Todd is coming from a specific religious paradigm, the information is no less valuable. And please keep in mind the following things. There are people behind the scenes who do actually practice witchcraft. And yes, any of the Wiccans listening out there may decry that statement and say, oh, well, Wicca is not related to witchcraft. But you know what? The reality is it is. But there are a lot of these people behind the scenes who do practice witchcraft. They are involved in the music industry. They are involved in other aspects of the media. And it is used to manipulate people in multiple ways. And as Everett noted earlier, that a hypnotic script can actually be recorded and compressed down into a nanosecond and embedded into any tone, whether it is a commercial, a television program, a music video, music itself. And it can loop. And so those subliminal scripts are playing in your mind, and they do have an effect, whether it is as extreme as prompting someone to go out and commit a ritual murder or to subtly change their ideas about home, family, their country, and their other belief systems. So please keep that in mind, that these things actually exist, and they are being used on you and me every day. So take it away, John Todd.
Okay, and real quick here, people. Now, we cannot fully source John Todd. It's not like we can go, it's not like the CMT where we have 10-year-old rosters. We can say, okay, sure, Council of 13, okay, Upper Illuminati Structure. Oh, yeah, there's John Todd's name. His name is also, by the way, Lance Collins, I believe. Isn't that it? It's John Todd,
yeah.
Lance Collins, Mom? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to try to do a little bit of research on this guy, now, I don't know what happened to him. He seems to have disappeared. I've heard a couple varying stories, someone referencing him as being in a mental institution. Another one, Josh Reeves thinks that he got pinched on some kiddie porn charges, some pedophilia, which would kind of match with a lot of the witchcraft. I don't care if you're offended by that or not. We have figured out by me and Mom when in research that, yes, it does involve, the Wicca does involve the parents helping indoctrinate children at the onset of puberty into a sexual ritual in Wicca. You know, that people try to get in semantics saying, oh, well, child is whatever. No, if you further research into it, the onset of puberty, you can't avoid that. So the two are very connected, and there's weird mother, daughter, father sex stuff going on. So not very wholesome. So if you want to research John Todd a little bit, so don't take what this is as the gospel, but listen to the ideas and listen to what he's talking about and then go research it. And whether he's Moonbat or whether he's BS or a disinfo agent, always remember that there's always the basis of great propaganda is a lot of truth. And what it is a skew on perception at the end to use that truth to get you the intended feeling from the propaganda out. Don't discredit the info. Okay, now that being said, we are going to go ahead and get into John Todd. And I remember that there is some... Dang, I forgot. Sorry, I'm such in a rush here, people. So there, I know that there's dead air at the beginning of this. I believe there is something like 10 to 15 seconds of dead air. So I'm just going to talk until he comes on. So also listen live to us, mysticpolitics.com. You can listen live, chat, do the whole thing. And if you want to navigate the site, go ahead and click pop out the browser in a new window, and you will be able to navigate the site freely, check it out, comment, go to our profiles, post our Blog Talk Radio player, which is also a listen live player, apparently, very sweet, to your websites, blogs, everything. It's got the HTML code there. Everything's got everything going on. So it's amazing, fantastic. And there's a lot of dead air in the front of this. Great.
Well, they have some type playing showing on the video that audio listeners are not able to see. That is very interesting, and it does talk about how. He basically changed paradigms and what people believe.
You may not be in witchcraft. You may not think that this message has anything to do with you, but you're missing the whole point. I was in a world where it was impossible to become a Christian, and Jesus made me one. I was by one of the girls that I used to live with when I was in the occult world recently. She was at a very important witchcraft meeting that we happened to find out about, and I pulled into the parking lot for a few minutes to see who was there. And she walked by the car, and I had a couple of Christian brothers with me. She looked in the car and just smiled and kept on walking, never recognized me. That's the difference between the way I am now and the way I was then. When the Lord changes you, He totally changes you. Now, we give our testimony for several reasons, to show that no matter what, whether you were raised a Christian and you know, all your life, or you were raised in the worst frame of life, it's still the same miracle. God still saves you just the same. Sometimes I think it's harder to get the PKs and the Christian kids saved than it is the witches. But at the same time, we try to flag you down from going the same direction we went, with drugs. You'll never know the feeling to lose so many friends that should be with you today and so many loved ones because of drugs that we kept convincing ourselves was all right. This isn't some preacher getting up here and telling you that's never been in it. I wished I had a half hour to talk about the worst thing that the occult world ever planned out and carried out. That's called rock music. But I'm going to say two quick things. Parents, The rock music does not belong to you, your kids. If your kids are in your home, it belongs to you and you're answerable for it. And if you want to believe they're garbage, that it's all right, and you want to forget things like Kiss saying that their real name is Kings and Satanic Service, and that rock music is actually satanic spells being cast and being planned by the Satanist Church, and that's a direct quote, then you go right on ahead. Right now, one of the Manson family girls is in trial, and she said the number one thing that the occult world used to brainwash them was Beatle music and rock music. If you want to leave it in your home, I won't go into details why you can't, but if you want to leave it in your home and all the demons that it attracts, fine. If you want your kids to buffalo you, then it's all right. But I recommend you go home today, get a cardboard box, and break the records, and burn those covers, and get it out of your home. And you'd be surprised at how fast your kids come around after they finish throwing their two-year-old tantrum. But I wish that I had the time more on rock music, but believe me, it is the work carefully planned out in the occult world. We spent $8 million to produce Jesus rock music and paid the man who started it named Chuck Smith just because Christians were destroying rock music and we were afraid that it would be banned from the Christian church. So we carefully put it in the form of Christian rock music. So if they would spend $8 million to keep rock music in your hands, then the hardcore rock must be even worse. And it is. Okay, Pastor. I don't mind. I drove all day so I could say these things. I was the manager of Zodiac Productions, which Zodiac Productions' name has been changed since then. I'm not even sure what to call it now, but it's the largest music conglomerate in the world. It owns RCA Records, Columbia Records, Motown Records, owns almost all the concert booking agencies in the United States. And that's not even the name of the company that owns it. The name of the company that owns it is Brenner Enterprises, and Brenner Enterprises is owned by Chase Manhattan. Chase Manhattan's owned by Standard Oil, and Standard Oil's owned by the Lords of London. You can track it all back. You kind of get the idea after a while. But I was the managing president of Zodiac Productions. It was one of my jobs as being one of these 13 people. Thus, I got to know many of the people who produce music and sing the music and play the music that you play. Recently, one of the top people in rock music from the group, can't think of the name of the group now, it's one of the top rock groups still in existence that's been around a long time, was just saved. And he told how when they'd play in their concerts, they would control through witchcraft spells in their mind the people that do different things in the audience. And that they'd work the audience up not with their music, but with their mind and their music combination. Now, one of the closest friends that I got during that time that I obtained was a man named David Crosby, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I saw David the day before Christmas last year, talked with him. I got him away from this witch that he had with him. He told her to go shopping. We were in West Hollywood, and I was witnessing around to people I knew. We went off in this store, and we started talking. I said, David, I'd like to ask you a couple questions. I said, I already know the answers, but I've been gone for 5 years. I'd like to know if certain things are still the way they were when I left. I said, I have to explain some of this when I'm done, because you're not going to understand it all unless you know something about music. I said, do they still take the master to the temple room? Dave said, yeah. I said, do they still have the coven conjure demons into the master? He said, of course. I said, now, I got to know something. What's the main reason for rock music? He said, come on, Lance, you know what the reason is. I said, please, David, I don't want to guess. Tell me what the main reason is. He says, the same as when you were in, so that we can place spells on people that we couldn't cast spells upon. I'll explain what that means in a minute. I said, okay, one last thing. I've been hearing that you must be an initiated witch now to get a record contract. He said, that's right. He says, many of us that weren't total witches have to be witches now in order to produce music. Thank you. The master is a tape about as big as the top of this podium that looks like an overgrown 8-track that the album is cut on and is placed in a machine that produces and presses the records and the 8-tracks and cassettes that you buy. After it's been recorded, it's taken in. This is why a master is cut months in advance before it's released. On the full moon, it's taken in to a temple room about the size of this auditorium that is in every one of the major music companies, behind locked doors up in the executive offices. And it's placed on an altar sitting in the north of the room and a pentagram engraved in the floor. And 13 hand-chosen witches and wizards and a coven come in and conjure a principality or a power-up, usually Regia or something like that, and order him to tell the demons under him to follow every record and every tape coming off of that master. As I tell many Christian parents, you can go home and count your kids' records, probably yours too, and count how many demons at least are there. If that's too hard for you to believe, I'm sorry. That's why they do it. Now listen to me. This is why rock music's addicting. Have you ever seen kids that got rid of their music? They go around like this. They can't wait to find a rock station somewhere and they sneak off just like getting a cigarette or a fix because it's addicting. That's why they can't give it up. The rest of the conversation was this. You can't cast a spell on a Christian, but you can get a Christian to cast a spell on themselves. If you give the permission for the spell to work, being a Christian won't block it. And rock music is not just a song. It is supernatural music that which is carefully designed by their spirit guides or familiar spirits in the form of spells. Now, although the devil's music's power is the music and God's music is the words, much of the songs are written in what we call witch language. To give you kind of an idea, you talk, many of you talk on a CB, unless you know what you, what a smoky is, and a 10-4, and a front door and back door and rocking chair and these type of things, you don't know what you're talking about. Same with witches. When you're in the first and second level, you have to learn over 2,000 words that said by anybody else means something totally different than when you say them. Elton John has said he's never written a song or sung a song that wasn't in witch language. And I want to show you something. See how many kids in here will be honest and adults. How many remember and have heard at least several times a song called Hotel California? Somebody tell me what it meant. Quickly, somebody tell me what it meant. Huh? That's pretty close. But from the words, what did it mean? Well, that's more of a guess. See, most people can't tell you. That's why when people do drugs and they listen to songs in which language, they get some of the meaning. But most of the time, they can't tell you. Stop and think how many songs are out there that you really like, and you don't have any idea what the person was talking about. Beyond the Yellow Brick Road? How about The Destroyer by Kiss? Can anybody tell me what it's about? Kiss said in it, kids, kill your parents. They're talking about Helter Skelter. Beatles sung Helter Skelter in which language nobody knew what it meant. Manson did because he belonged to the process. Helter Skelter is a several thousand-year-old word. And they're believing that it's going to happen in a year from now, from this very date. Most of the music is either about Helter Skelter or a place called the Night Winds, which is what Hotel California is about, and different doctrines of witchcraft. You listen to them, your parents let you listen to them, and they have no idea. Kiss openly bragged how they were gaining control of people through their music because the people played their music. They told how they didn't form their own group. Their church, because they were ordained ministers of the Satanist church, placed them together. And that's how most of the music is done. David Crosby, when him and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young produced the record Two-Way Street, they ordered the principality of Medea to order demons of rebellion to go into the record, and everybody that heard it would be rebellious against law and order and government. And it was one of the reasons for the great upheaval in the 60s was that one album. And they take open credit for it. I can go on all night, but that's mainly it. Parents, get this stuff in and destroy it now. I guarantee you, your kids will straighten up. They may pout for a while, but they'll straighten up. Okay? Sorry it's so late.
All right. We've had live action here. We're a bunch of nine-owls now. This ain't nothing. How many of you believe he knows what he's talking about when he talks about rock music? Huh?
Not enough of the kids, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. Well, I sincerely believe he knows exactly what he's talking about there. And I hope you'll listen to him. I hope you'll hear where he's coming from. And if you continue listening to that junk, where you're going. We just cannot tolerate it as Christian people in our homes. You can't stop it from being played and sold all that, but we can't tolerate it. You mentioned a time or two the Illuminati. Could you, in just a few words, summarize what you understand the Illuminati is?
Okay. Many people call it the Great Conspiracy, which is kind of true, but actually the Illuminati is about 1,000 conspiracies all running at one time. Therefore, a lot of them backfired. But it was formed about 100 years before its original birth date. The birth date is May 1st, 1776, which is always start everything on May 1st. That's why even the communist birthday is on May 1st. That's their New Year's Day. But it means the holders of the light or the light bearers. Now, witches have another name for it, too. Since it is a death penalty to use the name the Illuminati, you must say Moriah, which means the conquering, destroying wind. But its belief is that Lucifer is God and that everything else is imposter.
and that Lucifer can bring peace to the world by his lifters or upholders conspiracy. And they're going to conspire and conspire and conspire till they have a world government. Sometimes I wonder why they could be so dumb that something they're doing exactly what is going to lead to their destruction. But then that's usually how the devil is. He keeps everything in darkness. But that's the Illuminati. It's a world conspiracy, and I might add an extremely powerful one. The occult is its religion. Now, many of you are doctors, lawyers, mechanics, construction workers, businessmen, whatever. Most of you are Christians and Baptists, okay? But he's your minister, or at least if you're from this church. And the Illuminati, they all have jobs. But the witches are their ministers. But they're all Luciferian. The witches are the ministers, and they're the church members, and the religion is Luciferianism. Now, the real Illuminati, the organization itself, is financially powerful and politically motivated. Through their finance, they have an old witch's room, which is kind of a saying, a poem. They say, let the kings be kings, let the bankers be bankers, and let the priests be priests. Translated, it simply means that it doesn't matter who rules, as long as the bankers have the money, they'll own the person who rules. And the priest will run the bankers. That's the Illuminati.
You mentioned, John, some publication you said might be out in about 3 months. What is that again?
It's called Riot and Revolution. It's by Tom Berry, a classmate of my pastor, Roland Rasmussen, graduate from Bob Jones, the Doctrine of Divinity. And it takes the plan of the Illuminati for helter-skelter and gaining control of the world. It takes some of my testimony to justify it. And then it gives an answer to Christians what to do during helter-skelter.
Now, where did the material come from and how did he get it?
Some of it came from me and some of it came from another minister named Joe Boyd. Some of it came from Jack Howes. He's gathered. Also, he had about 20 pages of notes when I met him, which he said he gained by going through about 2,000 books when they were on the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers. Okay?
Yeah.
Satan worshippers believe in Satan. Witches, the lower three levels, believe in God or else God's self in ESP and so on. They believe in plural gods like the mother goddess Isis and so on. Or the higher levels are Luciferians, which believe in one god and the minor gods being in the Rothschild. Okay? That's the difference.
You mean the average witch is not taught that there is such a being as Lucifer or
the devil? Well, for one, when you believe in Lucifer, you don't believe it's the devil. Okay? No. They believe in the mother goddess, which is called by many names, as the poem about her goes. Diana, Isis, Asherah, which was the female side of Baal. And they believe, actually it's Baal worship, there was a male and female god. Asherah, and then the horned hunter of the night is the way he's portrayed in all countries, which is more or less kind of the underworld god, the devil, or whatever.
Okay. All right. Anybody with a question or two before we're going to take a love offering here?
There's no difference.
What was his question?
The difference between rock music and soul music. There's no difference. Okay.
All right, some other question.
In the back. They didn't come up with it. That was about a hurricane that somebody named Mariah, okay? Yeah. Yeah. In the Satanist church, Christ and Jesus are the same person, okay? No, that's the teaching. In the Satanist church, Christ, Jesus Christ, and Satan are the same person. That's the Satanist belief. And the Luciferian, they believe that Jesus Christ is the God of evil. Okay? Like we would feel about the devil, they feel about Jesus. And Lucifer, they feel towards him like we'd feel about Jesus. That's what they teach. Okay?
Well, Dean?
I don't know what he said, but it must have been good. Well, a pastor didn't lead me. A Christian worker led me to the Lord. The person that helped rehabilitate me was Jack Taylor, but he wasn't around much because he was a pastor. He had to run around the country speaking, was actually his music director and the youth director. Ann Rowitz was the youth director, and the music director was Malcolm Granger. And I stayed with Malcolm, and him and his wife worked with me, and the youth director worked with me quite a bit. But I don't envy him. I've sat back now, and I guess I kind of blocked my mind out how bad I was. But watching all these kids go through rehabilitation, man, that was no easy job. They had to be on their knees a lot, I'll tell you. Black Sabbath. Talking about the music group or a Black Sabbath? Well, the music group got its name from it. A Black Sabbath is a witch's Sabbath, okay? It comes 8 times a year. Beltane, but you get the first part, Beltane is their New Year's Day. That was May 1st, okay? Halloween is Shaham. That was also one of theirs. There's eight of them, okay? And they come around the year, and it's more or less their big party day, their super day. Now, if they're in the human sacrifice, they also do human sacrifice at the time. But it's a big time to have an orgy and a big drug party and this type of thing, because everybody wiped out. That's the Witches' Sabbath.
Don?
Well, not the Satanist church, but the witchcraft church is. A very, very powerful witch has a song out about witchcraft now called The Force. His name is Tom T. Hall. I just heard a very sick song recently. Somebody let me hear. It was by Tammy Wynette. And it was talking about Jesus Christ appearing on Midnight Special or something like Saturday Night something. Anyway, I'm afraid that if he appeared on that rock show, he'd probably bring the Cat of Nine Tails along with him. But there, some of the music, if it wasn't for witchcraft being behind rock music, I'd hate country the most. Because I don't see how Christians can listen to it when it's talking about adultery, fornication, getting drunk, cutting people up, running around with everybody else's wife, and things like this. And that's all I ever hear on it. Okay.
When?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they were referring to. Yeah, they did. No, I'm not going to tell you. Okay.
I believe Vic and then Russ.
Mm-hmm. Human sacrifice? That's pretty...
On this occasion.
Oh, well, the occasion was on a Sabbath, okay? That particular Sabbath happened to be February the 2nd, Candlemas, okay? What was the rest of it? Well, it's done... That particular one was done because of an initiation ceremony that was being done. Mine. But most of the cults just practice 8 times a year if they're into blood sacrifice. The lower witches believe that the power for witchcraft comes from orgies and sex. The higher witches believe it's attained by human blood. Okay?
Russ, I believe you had your hand.
It's a revolution that they have planned within the United States. Most people feel that something like that will never happen in the United States. They're lying to themselves. It will happen, and it's not very far off. Well, by 1980, there'll be... Helter Skelter's only an excuse, okay? The excuse is to be able to declare martial law. That's the whole reason for it. They promised the one side that they will be able to gain control of the United States through revolution, when the whole time is they're just simply setting them up to be able to declare martial law and suspend the Constitution. And by 1980, they plan on being under martial law. Now, I'm not saying, don't all of you start lunching me at one time, I didn't say it was... I said, this is their plan, okay? I'll leave it up to your own prayer life and watching the newspapers whether it's going to happen or not.
Maxine.
Just like most other cults. See, Jesus Christ requires just one way, only one way. The devil will use any way to keep your eyes off that one way, okay? It uses the same tactics wherever it branches to. I have no idea if he came out after I got out. I have no idea. They were back in groups like him before, the Krishners and so on. I can't see much difference between them and those two groups. So they probably back him too.
Okay, Mike and then Bob.
Yeah, the Council of Foreign Relations. Yeah, and it's inner brainchild that runs it. It's called the Trilateral Commission. Okay?
Okay, I'll leave Bob and then Barbara.
Yeah, there's 7 principalities, about 200 powers. Then it starts getting down into lower people we never pay attention to. The lower spirit.
Mother?
Yeah, I want to go to all just recently, about 3 weeks ago in April. The day before Jack Howes came to our church to speak, and the day after he left, I came, both times I came walking out of the church at Faith Baptist. One time I got in my car, started to drive off in the parking lot, about 30 people were standing around, and a passing car opened up on us with a gun. And then, that was Sunday night. Then Wednesday night of that week, I was walking out into the parking lot prior to the church letting out. With a couple of brothers, and when we dug the bullets out of where they hit, they had fired twice at us, and the bullets were 44 caliber, 44 Magnum. So they don't play around. And the range was so close, it was from the back of that wall to here. You know that the Lord is in it. It really makes you appreciate His divine protection, let me tell you.
Ruth?
That world takeover plan ended with World War III. But one of the teachings is that when Lucifer sets up his kingdom, okay, that through World War III, most of the civilized world as it exists now will be in rubble. And the one protected capital that they have purposely kept all missiles away from both sides, is Jerusalem. And they plan on using Jerusalem to set up from there, okay? Do they believe that Adam's original home, or the Garden of Eden, rests where Jerusalem is? So, but going to rule from there.
Mike and then Robin, we better let that maybe very quick.
The church that I attend and a member of is Faith Baptist in Canoga Park, Dr. Rasmussen. The work where it's at, the house, has got to remain a sound. Okay? Very well. All of our church walk around, people trying to find out where it's at, and everybody shh. It's like the unspeakable secret. Okay?
Yes,
everybody knows, but nobody says. He was a member of the Process Church of the Final Judgment, which in California is called Universal Church Triumphant Summit International. They always like these names. Okay?
Okay, let's see. Randy?
Not anymore. I try to keep out of communication as much as possible with them. My foster mother has a huge contract on my life, and my brother's trying to collect it, so I try to stay away from them.
By the way, Randy, you cannot communicate with them. You communicate with demons. They imitate them. They cannot speak to you. Let's see. Yes, brother.
Oh, I could. You mean in counting all 8 Sabbaths, say last year, from May 1st to May 1st, probably 500, and that's only a guess. I'm probably way under.
Dwayne has one of his books, Chick Publication, I believe it is, and it's made up like a comic book. It tells you, here it is.
Broken Crop. That's the one I wrote.
This is the one that tells you one of their main methods of how they get victims to offer up in blood sacrifice. All right, Robin, I think we better let this be it.
Okay. Give me about a minute on this here.
Repeat her.
Okay. You heard at a Christian school, what one? Oh, okay. You heard that C.S. Lewis was a Christian, right? Okay. First of all, Christian Accelerated School, as what I'm about to tell you, have investigated what I said. Christian Accelerated Education, and because of it, are now ordering all their schools to ban Lewis's work. They checked into it very carefully. So did my pastor, because he was getting hit very hard with it. He found everything I said to be true. When a witch is ready to be initiated, she must not just read, but she must study the complete work of Lewis, fictional work. Lewis has said that the way to God is like a hallway with many doors. They all lead to him. Okay? Now, the fictional works of Lewis are very real to witches. They're not fictional, they're history to witches. They really believe them. Okay? They believe their guidelines. Now, Lewis was a member of the Golden Dawn. Now, that's been proven. Along with a fellow brother of the same coven named Tolkien, who wrote The Hobbit. They were in the same time. Now, the Golden Dawn is the private church that the Rothschilds must pick every member of that church personally. It's in London. The oldest coven in the world. Okay? That's Lewis. Whether he says he's a Christian or not, that doesn't mean anything. That's where Christians are making their terrible mistake.
Could it be that he was like that, and like you said, he got converted, now he is no longer that?
He would have had to tell it. But Lewis' name was on the Golden Dawn records right up to the time that I got out. I mean, there's no betrayal there. He never did leave them. Okay? I want to say something real quick that will answer this. Many people supposedly are getting saved from the Manson family and from other things. Let me tell you something real quick so there will be no misunderstanding. If you come out of the occult, you come out of the Masons, you come out anything of the Illuminati, there's one distinct thing. Anywhere there's a vow of secrecy, that vow of secrecy must be broken. Not in part, complete. When somebody breaks their complete vow of secrecy, they're out. But until they do, they're not out. Okay?
Charlene, this is it.
That's right.
Written in double what?
Witch's language. That's exactly right. Okay.
Did you hear his question? How do Masons relate to all of this?
Okay.
Listen closely, you Masons.
Council 13 is the highest council in the Illuminati. The council right below it is the Council of 33. That's called the Grand Masters. There are the 33 highest Masons in the world. To be a member of the Council of 33, you must take a human life in a ceremony to prove your worthiness. We have in our hands copies, and Chick Publications is releasing this in their new book, Angel of Light. Copies of a 32nd, 33rd level book, which proclaims Jesus Christ, the God of brutality and sin and evil, and Lucifer, the God of love, beauty, and peace, and the true God. Yeah, a little shocking, huh? Different from the way it's portrayed. But don't be mad at the lower Masons. It also says in the same book that the lower Masons are sheep to be sheared. Now, many Masons are getting saved through our message, lower and higher, because they recognize when I gave my initiation to become a witch, and my vow of secrecy is the same as theirs, all the way through, the same, no different. Now, Masons were started by the Illuminati. It's all through our history that they're tied with the Illuminati. Their rites are witchcraft rites, when witchcraft had to go underground. We've had people come in and tear up their membership card and get right with the Lord. Mainly because, if you didn't know this, Charles Finney was a Mason. And when he got saved, he said, I can't be a Mason and be a Christian. It is impossible because of the vows I must take are non-Christian vows. Okay? People are getting saved right and left, and they all have one thing to say. When they leave the Masons, the reason they didn't leave before is they were afraid of what the Masons would do to them. Now, if it is a good group, why are people afraid to leave it?
Okay, and I guess that's it, everybody. That's very, very interesting stuff there from John Todd. I really enjoyed the part in which he was talking about who's the cat from Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Yeah, Crosby. Mm-hmm. He's talking about that.
What's dude's first name? A little bit before my time.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't recall that off the top of my head.
Is that the same crusty dude that was the surrogate father for Melissa Etheridge's kids?
I don't know.
I believe it actually is. Bald cat. He's kind of got a Gallagher type haircut going on.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
that's him.
Yeah. I think that's very illuminating. And I was over here trying to roll up my little home-rolled cigarettes and drinking some coffee, but what I did catch the part where he was talking about how they press masters with I guess they infuse the spirits in with the masters. What did you catch about that?
Well, my understanding from what he said is that they actually have a temple in every major recording house where they actually pray or do spells over the master of any particular song or album in which they're going to make the CDs, whatever. And they pray with these spells that the spirit of rebellion and dissent and other things like that will enter into anyone who possesses it or listens to it. And for those people who are listening in the archives or listening live and not able to be in the chat at this particular moment, what Everett was referencing earlier is my comment that Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash had stated in an interview that, yes, they do pray over their albums. They do their spells over their albums, requesting from, whatever entity that will, that their albums be really popular and make it, into the top whatever numbers. And he stated point blank that, yes, it works. We pray over all of them. We do our spells over all of them. And John Todd did, verify that in that little talk that he gave. But, honestly, it's a little shocking to some people, but for some people who do a lot of research, like myself and Everett, and some of the regular listeners, on the one hand, it really isn't that shocking because, like I was saying before that clip played, all of the media, the purpose of the media in general, the as Lee likes to say, the corporate-controlled media, the purpose of that is not to inform people, but it's to control people. It's to create an illusion, a world worldview, a framework in which they live that really has nothing whatsoever to do with reality, and it is it creates a mind prison. So that I found that clip very, very interesting. Thanks for playing that, Everett.
Yeah, definitely. And John Todd stuff, it just it's very, very interesting. And also in the beginning, yes, Chris Five just posted the a picture of David Crosby in the chat, and yeah, he's a Gallagher looking mofo, ain't he?
Yeah.
And I do recall, yeah, he's the surrogate mother or surrogate father of Melissa Etheridge, who, if you look at that now that John Todd supposedly exposing David Crosby as a high priest, witch, or whatever in the Luciferian religion, as he would like to call it, Now, and also you said it's not just based on the comment, but what I said about Crosby. In the beginning of the John Todd audio, he said that he had been out of the game for about 5 years, I guess, not practicing, and one of his few friends involved in the higher structures or, you know, in the witchcraft was David Crosby. And he had asked him, hey, is it still like this? Do you still pray to infuse a spirit over in the master? And he said, of course we do. Do you still do this, blah, 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 blah? Do you still have a temple here? Yeah, of course we do. Of course, definitely. You know, and he'd reference that basically everybody in the recording industry needs to be a witch to get a record deal, which is very interesting. Look at a lot of the people. Take a second, look at a lot of these people. You know, a lot of people say, oh, they're just kind of freak show type stuff. That's just, they dress them up. It's a stylist or whatever. Oh, I don't know. This kind of stuff makes you look at who these people are. And how many people have you you personally seen, talking to everybody out there, when you look at the TV and you're like, man, this guy has no talent. How did this guy get a deal? I got more talent than this guy. You know, when you're looking at some of these rappers, when you're looking at some of these people, you're like, man, how do these people get out there? When you're looking at people, I look at someone like Gwyneth Paltrow. I look at her, and she even admits she had no acting credit. She's a Blythe Danner's daughter. It's the only reference she had on her resume as an actress, and all of a sudden she just hit the ground running. Same thing with Goldie Hawn's daughter. All these second generation stars just pop up and just hit the ground running, you know, using their connections. And you know, I'm sure if you look at any second generation star in the movie industry, you're gonna find, you know, Wicca, witchcraft, this, that, the other thing, Luciferianism, new age stuff, Buddhism. A lot of people cringe when I relate Buddhism to Luciferianism, but I'm really striving to find a difference. It's all just self-illumination, worshiping of no god, using a man as the architect of matter, reincarnation, and Masons very much so believe in reincarnation. If you don't believe so, you need to go check out the Bill Cooper Mystery Babylon series when he's referencing works by Manly P. Hall and Albert Pike, and he's talking about things of this nature where, oh man, I just lost my train of thought, I hate that. Where he's talking about
reincarnation in Masons.
Yes, excuse me. When he was talking about the Roshanaya, and he was mentioning that what the Masons believed in the incarnation of the Illuminati before the Alumbrado, the Spanish Alumbrados, before it went over to Germany, which is the crux of the English language. The religion, the Windsor family, the Red Dragon tribe, the Rothschilds, everything like that. Before that incarnation, there was the Alumbrados, the Spanish Alumbrados, who were hermetic magicians, the same thing, same Illuminati structure, same mystery schools type stuff. And before that, it was the Roshanaya in the time of Muhammad, supposedly. And at that time, as per William Cooper's research, what they were telling people is, basically, if you go through your life as a Mason, basically your life will not end because you get power in the fact that once you've mastered the rituals and go through, and after you pass into the next phase, ascend spiritually, whatever you want to call it, you can come back and inhabit the body of a man, and that is how you will get immortality, which ties into a lot of the technocracy, the transhumanism stuff. A lot of the reincarnation, a lot of the Buddhist type stuff, how they believe you can come back as this or that. Well, the old school Masons believe that you can come back and possess a powerful man, a king, a this or that. And that's how your power would be everlasting. And so I think it's very, very interesting as far as that stuff. Is there any, what else did you want to mention from the John Todd audio?
Well, not so much about the audio, but I wanted to talk about how something that you said earlier about how the musicians all have to be, you know, in some level of witchcraft in order to basically get a contract and make it. you know, we all know that there's a lot of sex and drugs involved with the music industry, whether it's rock and roll, hip-hop, you know, R&B, whatever. It really doesn't matter. I don't know about opera, but, you know, the regular mainstream music that people listen to. And that is actually a way to keep control over those musicians. And one of the things that I find interesting, like you and I were talking about earlier, Everett, about how the music videos and the symbolism that's used in those videos. Now, of course, the musicians themselves, sometimes they write their own songs. Sometimes they're written for them, and they may not even realize what is actually being said in their music, but sometimes they do. But it's the videos, and I find that really interesting. You were mentioning before about some of the symbols that particular artists use and things that they wear and hand movements and poses that they strike. That all goes directly into the unconscious, besides like the 25th frame effect and besides the embedding of some kind of hypnotic script into the actual audio. It also goes through into your visual cortex, and people do do pick that up, and it does affect them. And I just think that's really interesting. You know, MTV came in when I was actually pretty young, and it was pretty tame. I mean, it was a little shocking, but compared to today's standards, it was really tame, because like you're talking about Eminem, and I forget the other artists that you're talking about. I mean, it's raw. It is straight out. I mean, blood and guts. And you know, think about, listeners, think about what these people are saying in their lyrics and what you see. I mean, it's not your mother's MTV anymore. And that's for a reason. It is, again, it's all about controlling people. It's all about it's all about controlling large numbers of people in different genres of music. I mean, these people have it buttoned up. They have it all sewed up. I mean, like I was saying in the chat room, kind of have to admire their evil genius, at least a little bit. I hate them, but I do admire their evil genius. They've got this really kind of down to a T, infiltrated all media, you know, all the various industrial complexes in order to affect people and, like I said, to create a reality that isn't. It's just an illusion.
Now, one of the things I was referencing as far as Eminem, the reason, part of the reason that got me clued over to him is the references to a certain entity called Rain Man. If anybody's seen the films, I believe it's Lennon Honor Films, and you can go check it out. He did a series on Rihanna's Umbrella, and just basically how, you know, talking about how Umbrella just basically means under the control, or how it's just a blanket term for being under the control of something. And a lot of the he goes into a lot of analysis on the Jay-Z part and the Rihanna lyrics, and how it's talking about good Rihanna, or Jay-Z comes in talking about this and that or whatever, and talking about an entity called Rain Man, and then there's good Rihanna, then a transitional Rihanna, and then a bad Rihanna at the end. And listening to the lyrics, and once you break it down and look at it line by line, it doesn't make sense. And you're looking at it, and you're like, hmm. And he throws a lot of stuff in there about, well, look at Jay-Z referencing this entity called Rain Man, which he's done a couple times. And he's referenced Rain Man a couple times in his tracks, and as well as Eminem. And he links in Eminem with the Rain Man. And also on Eminem's new album, he also has a new song where it says Rain Man's back again. I believe, I forget which album it is, but it's the one with it's the last big, it's just the last album. The last two Eminem albums both had Rain Man songs. And if you look at what Rain Man is, if you break it down, it's raw and man. Which I think, I thought it was kind of interesting. And so everybody should go check out that, and it really gets into what they're trying to say through the symbology or the symbolism in there. And he also kind of throws it out there how Jay-Z likes to throw out, we Rockefeller. Well, you know, Rockefeller is derived from Rockefeller, and he Lennon Honor kind of calls into question about, well, is he trying to say that he's of the Rockefeller bloodline? And if you look at, you know, not to be racist, but if you look at Jay-Z, he's a light-skinned brother, you know? And there could be very well, he could be very easily half black, half white, something like that, and he could have the Illuminati bloodline in him because, as me and Ma were discussing earlier, you can tell when you're coming up in the world when you are allowed to purchase a franchise because people have reputations invested in that, and no one wants to see a franchise, a big team franchise like the Knicks, that doesn't get sold to everybody. That gets sold to someone who you can show on a portfolio that you can support the team, that you're going to be able to do the marketing, that you're going to hold up your end of the NBA obligations as a franchise owner. Moreover, I'm sure there's a waiting list of people to buy the Knicks. So it's kind of the same way how George W. Bush, a.k.a. 66 the Great Work, thanks, Freeman. If you look at that, how he was an owner of the Rangers, and I really don't believe, I believe that if we do a study on the owners of major franchise teams, such as the Knicks in New York, I'm sure is a lot of people, a lot of native New Yorkers were chomping at the bit. I mean, you're competing with people like Trump, you know, a lot of bigwigs, the Rockefellers. You're competing with a lot of people in there to get that. I think a lot of... Just the fact that he was able to purchase the franchise, I think, is significant and shows his standing in those circles, number one. Now, number two, he does come from the same area. The Rockefellers are famous New Yorkers, you know, upper state New Yorkers. That's where, you know, that's where their power derives from. That's where they made a lot of their fortune. And I believe, isn't Jay, what's the little homosexual guy's name? is it Jay Rockefeller, the one who's the senator who's passed the bill for the Web 2.0, or trying to get the grid going on the internet bill? I believe that's Jay Rockefeller, and I believe he's, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he's a representative of New York, but I could just be pulling that out of my bunghole, so I'm not too sure. But all right, Mon, did you have any other articles for us?
No, I don't have any other articles, but I did want to point out that, you know, back to the music thing and casting spells over the music, you know, coming from a kind of a paradigmless point of view here, you know, it's interesting that John Todd was saying the verse, the Bible verse that he quoted was that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and entities in high places. And honestly, you know, casting these spells, they are requesting assistance from
non-physical
entities. And, you know, a lot of people in Wicca, they like to light their candles and do their little things, but they're not really completely initiated. But as they go up in their coven or whatever, you know, they are actually interacting with other entities. And like someone said in the chat room, you know, we are really, you know, we are spirits, of course, in a body, but they're disembodied. And I personally believe that they have a much higher intellect and abilities than we do as humans, and you know, it's really not something to play around with. And the fact that the music industry, and I believe the media industry in toto, engages in these practices should really tell us something. You know, they are being assisted by entities that are, you know, non-human, and whatever it is that they're asking for is being accomplished for them. And that's a little creepy to me. That's a little creepy. And I think anybody out there who is involved in Wicca or witchcraft at a lower level, you know, or anybody who's just really interested in the subject, I mean, do some research, because as people have conjured up whatever entities that they have chosen. There are many, many, and there are lots of sigils and names and that I'm not going to mention, but they feel like the entity is doing their bidding, but after a little while they start to realize that, you know, they're not actually the one in control, and that they're actually being controlled by this entity. And the other thing is that, you know, the people behind the scenes really actually believe in this stuff. I mean, whether I believe it, whether anybody, you know, you out there listening believe in it, honestly, it's kind of irrelevant, because these people do believe in it, and they live their lives that way, and apparently it seems to be working for them. So it kind of seems like something that maybe we should all look into, just kind of see where they're coming from and exactly what they're doing. I just find it fascinating, you know, creepy, but fascinating nonetheless.
Yeah, I see a lot of people commenting in the chat room that your audio is low, number one. And number two, a lot of them are saying, I don't mess with magic. And I don't either. I'm really concerned with, it seems to me that there is no benefit. Like, I'm not a power-hungry person. I just don't care. I don't feel like doing a spell to try to enrich my persona or this or that, or to get more Federal Reserve notes, or this, or you know, the other thing. I'm on this path of illumination. I'm on what some people refer to as the right-hand path. I'm here to educate, and I'm here to learn what I can from these mystery schools, from studying them, not to partake of their rituals for benefit in this earthly world, but just for a better understanding of what I am as a person. And so the whole practicing sigils and rituals and goetic magic and summoning of demons and possession, it just turns me off. I'm not into that stuff. Now, I do research it so I can see what this enemy is that we're fighting with. And whether it's real or not, I mean, straight up, I tend to believe it is. I tend to believe that there's 5-6D dimensional entities and higher planes in the hierarchy of the angels or the spirit world, whatever you want to call them, or just frequency manifestations that are beings and with sentient intelligence, whatever the hell they end up being. Okay, I believe those do interact with us on some manner. I believe, you know, I don't know what's the count. I think there are 400 trillion stars out there. It's just absolutely inconceivable that there isn't some form of life out there that is vastly superior to us, that is probably transcending his body and found a way to reproduce, and is just a pure light beam, maybe proton-based, something like that. And I do believe they interact with us, and I do believe, but I was thinking about this today, where why would you trust anyone like that? For instance, let's say why trust anybody off the planet? Because anybody off the planet, I doubt they have the best interest for us in mind. They would just be trying to do stuff that's beneficial for them. It's just like business. You do not enter into a relationship unless it's mutually beneficial. It doesn't work in business. You know, you don't do things just out of the kindness of your heart, because then you will not be able to function unless you're already high up on the food chain and you've taken a lot of Federal Reserve notes from other people, where you can be, get into philanthropy or things of this nature. But let's say you have a representative from Texas going over and talking to someone from Ohio. Well, why would the person from Ohio listen? Like, they'd say, well, no, you're just trying to benefit your state, not mine. You know, what is the reason for you to be here if it would not benefit your state? And, you know, so I would tend to believe that your vested interest is in your state, and you're just trying to milk my state for this or that. And I believe it's the same effect, these type of things. Now, in order for us to channel these entities, what's in it for them? I think that's a big question. What's in it for them?
People forget, you know. They can portray themselves as anything. They can portray themselves as sweetness and light and here to help us and guide humanity towards some, you know, fabulous goal. But who knows? I mean, we can't really suss them. We can think whatever we want. We can believe them. We can disbelieve them. But we can't really know them or probe them. I mean, it's not like another human being where you can look directly in their eyes and see that they're lying. And I think that's something that a lot of people have kind of found out after a while. I mean, Jane Roberts is a woman who had channeled a being, and she wrote kind of some books about it, Seth. I think it was called the Seth Chronicles. And, you know, it started out one way, and it got a little disturbing and more disturbing. And she did automatic writing while she was channeling. I mean, Helena P. Blavatsky, the founder of Theosophy, which is not new. It wasn't new when she founded it, but just as kind of an organization, which is a Luciferian in its bent. They did have the Lucifer Trust Company, which is a publishing house, which changed to
the Lucas Trust.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
You know, she channeled, and her successor, Annie Besant, channeled, you know, and they talked about the hierarchy. This being was talking about manifesting the hierarchy on Earth. Now, you know, what does that tell you immediately? Well, hierarchy of who? And who's in charge of that? And what's their goal? I mean, it can say anything it wants. I mean, anything, just like anybody on the radio. But, you know, we can source the things that we're talking about, but we can't source what they're talking about. And I think people will kind of lose sight of that. And it can go sideways pretty quickly. And like I was saying, you know, superior beings, superior intellect and ability, we're no match for that. And like you were saying, you know, how many billions and trillions of stars out there? Of course there have to be other life forms out there, you know, completely different from our own, whether they have physical being or not. And, you know, we're kind of trapped in this five-sense reality. I mean, we can expand ourselves and our intellect, but the fact remains, here we are. We are at a certain vibration, and we exist in this physical world. And messing around with the entities that don't just seems kind of a little dangerous proposition there.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we have a caller here. Let's go ahead and go to the caller, and it looks from a weird number. Let's see what's going on. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Pretty
what's
interested
your name,
in can you hear me?
Yeah, what's your name?
I'm Get On It in your chat room.
Get On It?
That's right.
Okay, I don't see you in the chat here, but go ahead, Get On It. What can we help you with?
yeah, pretty much interested in what you're talking about, but I have a question for you and your guests. Anyone can take it if you like. Is it possible, is it possible or maybe likely that we as a people or as human civilization were a lot smarter in the past, maybe thousands of years ago? And I referenced that question with look at the way the pyramids are built or the civilization that the Mayans and the Aztecs had, as well as what some of the formations of Stonehenge on Papalos Islands. Is it just possible that we were smarter, or were we connected with higher intelligence in the past?
Yeah, I'll take that question. Yeah, I believe most definitely. I believe you can see that manifesting itself in the way that they're destroying our pineal gland. And if the listeners out there don't know what your pineal gland is, it's actually like a mammalian, or actually like an octopus eye, or lower old, when we were just starting to form, or as a mix of being mixed genetics, a myriad of different beings. It's basically a retina and a lens and a shriveled up eyeball, which has turned itself into a gland, which releases DMT in your brain. And this pineal gland is responsible for the flood of DMT in your body in the 13th week of when you're in utero, inside your mother being born, which is the Buddhists believe that's when your soul enters your body. It's also released when you dream. And some people believe that when you dream, you actually break the fourth dimension and break the time-space and travel other places. And it's also released at your moment of death. During an autopsy, your body is found to be flooded with this DMT. So I believe that if we're fully functional with our pineal gland, that we can actually transcend and break matter and do all kinds of stuff. Now, if you look at what damages the pineal gland, it's sodium fluoride, and Mom, get into a little bit of that. Talk about some of the things that can damage the pineal gland, and real quick.
Sure. Well, like you said, sodium hexafluorosilicic acid, also known as fluoride, definitely calcifies the pineal gland, and so it really can't work. And, you know, sodium fluoride is, of course, a toxic waste byproduct from the phosphate fertilizer industry, aluminum manufacture, and uranium enrichment. So it is a toxic waste. It is known that it is a toxic waste, and yet it's put into food, water, oral products, etc. So that is not an accident. Aspartame, otherwise known as NutraSweet, affects your pineal gland, and there are other additives that do that as well. And it's not just the pineal gland, but it's other aspects of your endocrine system as well. But you know, it's not just the pineal gland. I mean, many people believe that our DNA has been clipped. You know, we have what they call junk DNA that really they can't figure out what it does. It doesn't seem to be active.
It's actually 90% of our DNA is frequency junk DNA.
Mm-hmm, that's one aspect of it. And then, you know, there's the other aspect that, you know, looking at the literature from the time periods where those structures were built, you know, if you look at that, they have all kinds of references to off-world beings and receiving information from off-world beings or disembodied beings. You know, I don't read Sumerian, but so I have to rely on the translations. But it's a very fascinating subject. And of course, you know, looking through history, we've had these really advanced civilizations that have fallen. Now, we consider ourselves to be advanced today, and yet we do not, at least commercially or publicly, have the technology to create anything even remotely resembling the pyramids or these, you know, fantastic structures that were built thousands of years ago. So what does that say?
Yeah, I definitely believe, caller, get it now. Also, I want to say that you're in the Blog Talk Radio chat, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, we couldn't get that to load. So what we did is we went over to mysticpolitics.com, where you can also listen live. It's mystic.com, and check us out. We have a chat room going on over there. We've got about 12 loyal listeners over there. A lot of good conversation going on. We have a Blog Talk Radio player embedded right there. You can listen.
Could you type that into the Blog Talk chat room, please?
Yeah, I asked someone. I can't actually access it. Every Thursday night, they just bombard me with the internet, so I just can't access it. So it's
okay.
The whole thing. Yeah, but it's mysticpolitics.com. You can even Google Mystic Space Politics, and it's the first link.
Okay.
So you can find it real quick. But also, I wanted to say, as far as I believe you are correct. I believe we have been systematically degraded. Another thing that, Ma, you had mentioned to me as far as calcium fluoride, doesn't it also damage the mitochondria in the cell, which is passed down to the children as well?
Well, calcium fluoride is something that is a lot of times present naturally, but our bodies don't absorb that. So sodium fluoride, yes. Sodium fluoride does actually damage the mitochondrial DNA. It breaks it. And so, for example, if a mother drinks fluoridated water, you know, city water, it damages her DNA. It damages the child's DNA in utero. It damages, say, for example, it is a girl child inside of the mother. It damages all of her eggs. And, of course, you know, females are born with all of the eggs they will ever have. So you have basically an intergenerational mutation going on. Aspartame, also known as NutraSweet, does the same thing. But yes, it is. We are being genetically modified against our will, and most people, against, you know, have no knowledge of this. So it continues.
Yeah,
I have one last question, if I could, then I'll hang up and listen, if it's okay.
Okay.
I would agree with you that we are being systematically modified or dumbed down. Would you say this is a planned or a calculated approach to for a few individuals, a small group, or should I say, just a group of individuals to control the planet?
Yes, I would definitely. So we're going to go ahead and answer off air. I want to say it was a great call. Call back anytime. And you can meet us up at mysticpolitics.com. Thank you for calling Get It Now, and hopefully we see you over at www.mysticpolitics.com and check on, click on the chat. Now, what he was referring to is the Illuminati oligarchy, and yes, I do believe that this is systematic. I believe that there's no other reason other than people, other than what the aluminum industry and the nuclear waste, them saving a couple bucks, but I mean, it had to cost money to get them to divert it into our water system. you know what I mean? This stuff is added. They have to go buy it and add it in.
I have to say, it actually doesn't cost them money to do that. I found in my research is that, and this is a quote directly from a woman in the EPA who is in charge of water quality. These industries, the phosphate fertilizer industry, uranium enrichment, aluminum production, they are actually allowed by the EPA to sell their toxic waste to municipalities and oral hygiene products companies, and they make a profit off of this. Instead of, like every other toxic waste, having to pay to dispose of it properly. I mean, she said that point blank.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely believe that there is a controlling oligarchy, Illuminati priest class structure that's been around for 6,000 plus years in its current incarnation, derivative from the mystery schools of the Black Sun, the Order of the Snake, Babylonian Brotherhood, the Rosh Hashanah, Alambrado, Illuminati, and the current, and whatever the hell you want to call it. This is the priest class oligarchy that runs stuff behind the scenes. And it is by design. It's been happening for years. Moreover, I think how they used to do it was just by controlling information, controlling the written language, controlling sacred texts, controlling knowledge. Now, with the propagation of information through the Internet, they just have to destroy, instead of destroying the programming, now they're destroying the computer. Because the programming is easy. You can just Google anything you want to learn about, or Ipsqlik, or Scroogle.org, whatever, you know, don't rake me over the coals, because what I use. But you can web search anything you want to know about, and it's right there instantly. Granted, there's going to be some disinformation there, but a little discernment and studying, you can find out anything you need to know. Now, that being said, they can't control information anymore. So what's the answer? Well, you can't have a bunch of people ascending, which I believe you can do if you have an undamaged, uncalcified pineal gland and you know what you're doing. So they have to start destroying the computer and destroying the stuff that makes us special entities. And I definitely do believe it's by design, and I do believe that we were smarter at one point, so I would say you were exactly right on with that. And I believe there's a lot to be learned from the Sumerian and Egyptian and Mesopotamian culture. I believe they were a lot closer to the controlling gods or the Elohim. I believe that they were in direct relationship with the demagogues or the white, the Caucasoids. Who were set up as the demigods. I believe they had a lot closer relationship to the what I believe is alien creators. I don't believe that man was a derivative of gods. I believe that other higher beings came down here and created us, but I do believe in a divine presence in the universe. I know Ma does as well. We both believe in a creative catalyst, although sometimes we argue on how that manifests itself, but, you know, we're God-fearing people over here. I just kind of believe I'm a myriad of different fish, ape, and DNA. So, all right, we have one more caller over here. This is from a push-to-talk 1111111111 number. I don't think any of these has ever gone through, but we're going to go ahead and try here. Caller, you're on the air. Are you there?
Yes. I think what we're seeing is the Book of Revelations basically being fulfilled in this early part of the 21st century. And I think you're going to see literally hell on earth. I mean, I'm not trying to be, how should we say, apocalyptic, to be funny. Mm-hmm. But I think you're going to see truly spiritual evil like we have never seen on this planet. We're approaching the time, I believe, when divine judgment and divine reality is going to break forth, and people are going to know there is a personal God, capital G, who is not going to share his glory with any lesser God, and that there is a struggle between good and evil, and we are all a part of it, whether we want to realize it or acknowledge it or not. We are a part of this struggle, okay? And I think the Illuminati are just that. They are the satanic priest class that is currently running this planet. But their time is running out, and when the God of of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob finally returns to this earth, he is going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule this planet with righteousness, with justice. And if you want to call me a Bible thumper, you would be wrong, because I'm not a fundamentalist, far from it. I believe most of Christianity has been co-opted and is apostate. And again, I'm not trying to judge, but that's just the way I see it. Mm-hmm. I've read much of the Bible, and what I see in what are called Christian churches is anything but what's in the Bible. So I'll leave it at that. But I do believe there is a final conflict coming between God in heaven of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Satan, a little less, the devil, and his demons. And we are a part of that conflict. God loves humankind enough that supposedly he sent his son to die for us, and he's coming back to reclaim his throne. Those who continue to worship demons and other things that are not God are going to be sorely disappointed, and ultimately I think are going to be condemned, frankly, if they don't.
A couple points in there for you now. Now, I don't know. Now, the study of, number one, are you familiar? Have you seen the Jordan Maxwell stuff on, you're referring to Yahweh, correct?
Yes.
God of Abraham. Okay.
He's a Jewish Messiah, yes. That's correct.
Right. I've seen some stuff on Yahweh that the actual God they're referring to is Yah, who is the God of enlightenment, and Way being an explosive force. So Yahweh would be like a eureka moment, and it was an old, let's say, colorful phrase that the people of the Mesopotamia area used. And Yahweh was an original enlightenment God, not unlike Lucifer. Have you seen anything like that?
I haven't. I mean, I've heard the argument that Lucifer somehow is not a bad guy, a bad god, as they say. But from what I've been able to read, both in the Bible and in other sources, Lucifer is nothing other than the fallen angel that we now call Satan. And he is, in fact, the god, little g, of this world. He is the ruler of this present society worldwide.
I would definitely agree to a point where the people who are running this world definitely use the name Lucifer and ascribe that to their god or their worship of the intellect or whatever. But as far as in the Bible, there's a couple discrepancies about Lucifer himself. Now, I don't really know where Lucifer sticks in. Now, there's a lot of people using Lucifer's name who are up to no good, but then there's a lot of Christians. There's the Society of Jesus who co-opted the CNP, and there's a lot of funky stuff going on in the Vatican, and there's a lot of people who are using Jesus Christ's name who are up to no good as well. So I wouldn't, ascribe what the religious practice of the said entity is doing to what the purpose of the original entity. Lucifer, for all I know, may be just an allegory for the intellect, or it could be a higher dimensional being, or, like you said, a fallen angel. But these things have been transcribed from four different languages, and it's hard to know where everything's fallen. Now, as far as a hell on earth, I think that we're pretty much there right now. And in my personal opinion, I kind of buy into the 2012 being something you can hear. I think it's Noel Huntley and Josh Reeves on the Global Reality at, I believe it's theglobalreality.com. You can check out some of his stuff. And he refers to the new 2012 being a reawakening of the 12-strand DNA, what some call the Age of Aquarius, the new 2600-year epoch, and a period of time where we're going to actually line up with the center of the galaxy, which is going to irradiate us. Because what we've determined through science recently is that solar radiation and solar energy actually alters us at a DNA level for the betterment.
Mm-hmm.
We get vitamins, we get a lot of minerals from the sun. So when we align in with the sun, it's going to awaken a lot of our stagnant frequency DNA, which may be a frequency base, who knows. So as far as, I definitely believe
that the, in my personal opinion, I believe the hell on earth is happening right now. It may get a little bit worse because things tend to get a little bit messy before they're cleaned up. There may be more of a catalyst before the event happens, but I see in the future kind of a peaceful spiritual age, an age of Aquarius, age of enlightenment. I do see that coming on because shows like mine are popping up everywhere.
Well, sure, and I agree with you. I mean, I think ultimately there is good news, if you want to use that term, but I think just like John the Apostle said in the book of Revelation, you know, he said, I saw the four horsemen, you know, the white horse, false religion. I saw a red horse, that's world, you know, global war, World War III. I saw a pale horse, that's pestilence, you know, pandemics, epidemics. And then I saw a, he said a black horse, that's famine, global famine. And then he said he saw a pale horse, which, of course, is death and the grave. And those are the four horsemen of the apocalypse that will take away, apparently, one-fourth of the Earth's population. Then he mentions, you know, the trumpet judgments, which is God actually intervening directly in human affairs when he actually sends judgment on this satanically misled world and begins to judge Satan and his kingdom here on the earth. And
again, that's referred to as the picking of the seventh seal and the playing of the seventh trumpet,
yeah, well,
right?
The seven trumpets, you know, the first of the seven trumpet judgments, where it even talks about, looks like extraterrestrial impacts, meaning, I guess, asteroids hitting the earth, you know. I mean, we're talking about some major, major prophecies here that have not been fulfilled. And it also talks about a great tribulation for people who believe in the true God. And it even talks about another a martyrdom of saints, just as it occurred during the Dark Ages under the Catholic Church. It talks about another worldwide martyrdom of people who have faith in the true God, okay? And then it talks about ultimately the second coming, and then that at that point, that's it. You know, Satan's kingdom is over. He will be defeated, and he will be cast out permanently. But, you know, like they say, it's always darkest right before dawn, and I believe if the revelation of John is correct, we do have some dark days ahead, I'm sorry to say. And I do believe that, you know, just as the Illuminati have a desire to depopulate the earth by 90%. It's funny, if you read the book of Revelation, after those prophetic judgments take place, there's not going to be a whole lot of people left. I hate to say it like that. There's going to be a whole lot of judgment breaking out here on the earth, I'm afraid. And but I still believe good will prevail. I believe God is on his throne, and he's never going to get off of it. And those who are wicked as hell are going to be taken on up off this planet. Forgive me for saying it like this, but I mean that's what the Bible is saying, and that's why it's such a hated book, is because people want to be able to continue to live wicked as hell, and think that somehow they're going to, you know, just continue in that way of life. That is coming to an end. Wickedness, evil, selfishness, greed, war, injustice, oppression—all of that is going to be dealt with, I believe, as it's foretold in the book of Revelation. And those who decide that, you know, righteousness is good, and I think, we'll all have to make that decision individually, but I think what you're saying is look at where the world is right now, where you have this selfish, very powerful elite that is leading the world literally to hell. I mean, that is where we're headed if these people continue to rule this planet. I don't believe a loving, merciful, and holy and righteous God is going to permit evil to ultimately prevail on this earth. However, I do believe he is going to allow the evil one, the devil, to have his 3.5-year reign of terror here on the earth, and that's when you speak of the mark of the beast and the false prophet and all of the horror that will be. And I think it's for a reason, because I think humankind as a species is going to have to learn that if you reject the true God, then what you have left is going to be very destructive, and it's going to probably, you know, result in a lot of suffering and a lot of devastation. It's going to take, I believe, something like a global holocaust to make humankind as a whole realize that they need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, I'm serious. It's going to take something so horrible that people will finally admit, we don't have the wisdom, We don't have the understanding, and we don't have the goodness, frankly, to create a world where everyone gets an opportunity to fulfill their God-given potential and to live in peace and where people respect one another and that we can love one another, I mean, genuinely. Okay.
All right, yeah, thanks. I really appreciate your call. I'm going to go ahead and respond off air. Caller, what was your name?
My name is David.
All right, David. Yeah, I really enjoyed the call. Feel free to call back anytime. We're going to go ahead and respond out there. Now, a lot of the – I don't personally believe in a lot of the revelation stuff. I think a lot of that was – see, I'm an alien guy. I think a lot of that was just a pre-planned, you know, a business plan going through and – they know how to push our buttons. They made us. They know what to do and what codes, what scripts they need to follow. If you look at a lot of the Bible code and a lot of the prophetic stuff in there, that's the only way I can rationalize that stuff is through 5D, 6D channeling, other type stuff, and scripting into the Kabbalah and other languages which were transcribed from Mesopotamian to this, to that, to whatever. But whoever transcribed the Bible and the current incarnation it's in now, the Dead Sea Scrolls, let's say, that incarnation of the Bible, it seems that there was exterior influence on that, which put in a script that people in the Illuminati priest class are using to prey upon people and to get them believe that there's an apocalyptic time coming. You know, if you look at it, people can attribute, like, the Nostradamus' teachings. They can, you can, those are so loosely, and so the Bible, too, is just so packed of loose metaphors that people can attribute anything to what they want. Now, a lot of people like to say that the mark of the beast is or the number 666. They like some people say it's the UCC, the Universal Commercial Code. How the barcode has three sixes in it. Okay. Some people like to say it's the RFID chip. I personally say, if I was going to believe anything was, I'd say it's your Social Security number, which it's illegal not to have in America. I would say that's the mark of the beast. You know, the number they sign and give you at birth. And inscribe, and you need a Social Security card to get a bank account, a credit number. It's what your credit worthiness is based off, is your Social Security number. That's what I believe is the mark of the beast. But I don't – it's hard for me to relate to the Christian paradigm because I do not believe in a devil. I don't believe there's another area called a hell. I believe there might be an amalgamation or a cacophony or a chorus of lower frequency spirits and just crappy people. I don't believe that it's where a guy in the red jumpsuits are sticking a pine cone up your ass and poking you with the fork. I don't believe in that. I believe everything's frequency. And I don't believe a God who is infallible and just utterly holy would allow such a wicked micromanager such as Satan, as people would like to refer to him. And also I'd like to say Satan in the original Mesopotamia area dialect did not mean, you know, the devil. Satan means many adversaries or great adversary. And moreover, in the Bible a couple times, I believe it's Leviticus 2, 24, and I think Corinthians 1. The Bible actually conflicts with, you know, Lucifer told David to count the sending men of Israel, and then God told David to count the sending men of Israel. Kind of counteracts itself there. So even the Bible is confused as to who Lucifer is and who God is. And like I said, if you go to the etymology of it, with what Jordan Maxwell breaks down, is that Yahweh himself was an old enlightenment God, not unlike Lucifer. So I think it's entirely conflicted. And my personal belief is why there's a discrepancy between Corinthians and Leviticus is because maybe Lucifer was the name of the enlightenment god or the god of the intellect, Prometheus, the light bearer, the son of the morning, whatever, blah, 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 blah. I believe that may have been the name for him in one region, and God or Gon or Yah or Yahweh might have been his name for the same entity in another region. And when the Gnostics, who believed in a lot of the duality due to the hermetic magic, they just transcribe them, and one got the good and one got bad. Probably, you know, go team A, go team B. Who knows? Who knows what happened? But I don't really believe that there's a devil, and I don't buy into that paradigm. Ma, what do you think?
Well, you know, I've had a conversation about this several times with a friend of mine, and his comment was, well, you know, if all of these elite, are actually interested in global depopulation. They have the methods and the means to do this. They choose to align themselves with, disembodied spirits, which, they may call Lucifer, they may just tell us they call it. Then are they not fulfilling God's plan? So, that's a pretty good point. You know, if that is the case, if that is the framework of the universe and that particular book and that particular paradigm is actually the correct one, then, hey, isn't it all happening according to plan anyway? Well, there you go. I mean, the Georgia Guidestones clearly state that they're all about depopulation and they want to have a world religion and a world language, and apparently I'm not talking loud enough. And they apparently the Sanhedrin has been reinstated in Jerusalem, and there are plans to rebuild the temple. Well, then, hey, is it not according to a plan? So there you go. I mean, I can't say that that is the correct paradigm. I can't say that it's not. So, but it is interesting, and I think what you're talking about, Everett, that's really fascinating too, because, there is a lot of stuff that predates the Hebrews, Abraham, and his progeny, and we need to, I think we really need to look at that too, because like you said, Everett, there are a lot of different religions that predate that, and they use a lot of different names for different gods, and it all kind of comes back to, all right, we have the intellect. And like you said earlier, we have a creative catalyst of the universe. You know, I personally do believe there's a creator of the universe. I don't think I don't believe in evolution, that it could just kind of spontaneously happen. I mean, where did that ball of goo come from? It had to come from somewhere. But, that's my personal belief, which is, like you said earlier, tentative conclusions are what are necessary, and as we receive more information, we evaluate it and maybe we change our conclusions, maybe we don't. But I think we really need to look at what predates the Christian Bible, because a lot of the stories that are written in there are retold from previous civilizations and previous religions. So I think it may be a little larger than that. It may be, it may not be. But who's to say? I mean, it's all about learning, because as we learn, we grow.
Yeah, no, definitely. And we have a surprise a co-host here. And let's see, Josh, do you have anything to add to that as far as the Lucifer and God and witchcraft and music? Oh, wow. What a delay on this clip. Well, that's obviously not working. It'll probably play in like 13 seconds. Anyways, yeah, I had tried to upload some little sound effects from Mr. Josh Reeves here. Let's click another one here and see.
Good Lord!
Oh, yeah. This is good stuff. Hold on here. I like
it. Don't worry, I'll get you, Mystic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just like it so much.
Good old Josh.
Oh, yeah, it's just great. Hold on, let me see. I got one more here. This just cracked me up. This is from the show the other day where I called him out for eating on air. This is great stuff here. Yeah, and Reeves, oh, man, he did a show the other day, man, where he was talking about, he was all fed up, and he was talking about, I just give in. Okay, Alex Jones, great guy. Quality show. I really enjoyed the broadcast. A lot of good information there. I'm like, oh, man. And sure enough, that show didn't go to broadcast. It didn't get archived. I wanted to cut that up so bad.
Yeah, that would have been good. Now, of course, anybody who is not familiar with who we're talking about Josh Reeves, and his show is The Global Reality, and that does play on Oracle Broadcasting Network, I guess, Monday through Friday, 11 to 3. Central.
Don't worry, I'll get you, Mystic.
Yeah,
look
so that's 11 to 3, and yeah, you could.
Good Lord!
That's just great stuff. Yeah, I just like a lot.
Oh man, I leave it up to Mystic. Yeah, I leave it up to him to do that. No, it would be you that had to say something, wouldn't it?
I love it. Okay, everybody, that is the end of our broadcast. We have 53 seconds left. I'd like to thank my recorded co-host, Josh Reeves, my permanent co-host, Carolyn Harris. I think we decided we're just going to go ahead and bring Ma on the show. I really enjoy her input. She's great. Share a lot of the same ideals, beliefs, and she's also smoking hot, so it's going to get more people to listen. So that's great stuff. You can check out Ma at 12 to 2 p.m. Central Time on OracleBroadcasting.com at the Iconoclast Report. You can check her and me out here at Mystic Politics Radio at MysticPolitics.com. That's your one-stop shop. Listen live. We have a couple different players. We have embeddable players for you to put on your MySpace page, and you can join us live in the chat. I love you all, and I really look forward to seeing everybody here next week. And that's it. Say goodbye, Ma.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.